Welcome to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute, divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life, encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends. How does a man in Lausanne, Switzerland, born in Lausanne, Switzerland, to American parents, become a director of big-budget studio films, Fox, Disney, ABC, and pioneering independent features and hard-hitting documentaries? In what ways has this serial entrepreneur, who founded over a dozen companies in the creative industries, become a force for social impact with focus on indigenous rights, human trafficking, and orphans with special needs? This is the story of David L. Cunningham. We pause here, as we typically do, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life show is to share how the love of Jesus Christ makes a difference in people's lives. I'm talking about the love of Jesus, so strong that he died on the cross for your sins and mine. He was buried and rose again on the third day, offering God's hope. David L. Cunningham is an international filmmaker known for striking visuals, authentic performances, and dynamic subject matters. He grew up in Kailua Kona at the University of the Nations campus. He studied film at the University of Southern California. He is the founder of Global Virtual Studio, an award-winning content creation machine. David's latest film, which premiered at the Boston Film Festival, is The Wind and the Reckoning, taking home 8 awards, including Best Film. David, welcome to our show.
Thank you. It's great to be here with you, Danny.
What was it like growing up on the Big Island of Hawaii?
It was amazing. You know, my parents moved here when I was 3 years old, and they, you know, they're the founders of a not-for-profit Christian organization, and they were developing a campus in Switzerland when I was born to them there, and then they moved here to Hawaii to do the same. And, you know, in the 70s, growing up on the Big Island, it was almost like a developing country, but I mean that in a really good way, quite rural. I was the only Haole kid, Caucasian kid of my friends growing up. And we had the run of the place, you know. It's an amazing place to grow up, exploring and such a rich culture here. So it was a fantastic time.
David, you mentioned your parents, but who would you say influenced you most in your growing up years?
Of my two parents, or
broadly?
I think, you know, both my parents had a big influence on my life, and I think my spirit of adventure really came from my father. My father's one of a handful of people who's been to every country on earth, like documented. And he said to me early on, you know, David, I'm not going to have a big inheritance for you, because, you know, they work at the nonprofit organization and all the rest. But my inheritance for you will be experiences. And he has come through in spades on that. So by the time I was 19, I'd been to 100 countries already. And a lot of these places, not typical tourist locations. We crossed the Sahel together when I was 14, did the Trans-Siberian Railroad across from Beijing all the way to up into Outer Mongolia, and then all the way across all the stands, and wild adventure. I did the Outback Australia, number of countries throughout Africa. Anyway, so I have a really very rich history and experience. And in fact, at one point, when my grandfather was still with us, he also traveled a lot because he was in missions. My grandfather, my father, and I were all the first to have three generations in what's called the Traveler's Century Club. And that's for those who have been to at least 100 countries and can document it. So, yeah, I think my spirit of adventure from dad, for sure, entrepreneurship. And he's an amazing man. And my mom is a very wise woman, a very wise person. And she's very principled. And there's so much I learned from both of them.
Let's go a little further, David. Talk about what did all the travels with your dad do inside you?
You know, I think it lit up for me a love for the nations, a love for the people, and just how many amazing cultures there are out there. And I really feel like my calling, a big part of who I am as a filmmaker and what excites me is bridging cultures. And you would learn about a culture or a place, and then, you know, you want to tell people about it and share it to the world. And so I as I got into filmmaking, it was quite a natural bridge to go from traveling to actually becoming a documentarian, doing documentary filmmaking. And that was kind of my first step into filmmaking. But yeah, so yeah, I like to celebrate the cultures of the world. And then you will run into issues around the world too that are heartbreaking. But almost always I found that when there's a heartbreaking situation, there are heroes that are confronting it. And I love to celebrate those heroes and people that are confronting pain and injustice and try to get people to come behind that person or that organization. And so that's been a big part of the body of my work in the documentary world is been in that general category.
That's such a poignant area of focus that you're on and been on for decades. And the way that it can impact and the way that it does impact society at pivotal points. Your faith journey, David. We're talking Youth with a Mission, University of the Nations, YWAM, David, your dad, Lauren and Darlene, dad and mom, Lauren and Darlene Cunningham, founders of YWAM. Your journey of faith, take us there. How did that develop?
Well, I think, you know, I have to first say, you know, I have the family business for generations have been in ministry, in the Christian ministry. So I have seven generations of pastors and missionaries on one side of my family and four generations on the other. So my great grandfather started 13 churches out of a covered wagon in the territory of Oklahoma, where him and his family would literally build each church, but with mud bricks, and build up a church, fill it up, move on to the next one, do it again. My great uncle was a prisoner of war in China during World War II. He was a missionary there, and he stayed with his congregation and went to the camps because of that and survived. Just crazy stories. A chicken would come and lay an egg every day in the same place outside of his fence line. That's how he survived. My grandmother was the first woman ordained minister in her denomination, and really actually was a pioneer in breaking in places like South Korea, where there was for many years, women were not to be ministers. And she was the first one to speak in the pulpit there, Yonggi Cho's church, the largest church in the world, and challenged them to usher in women into ministry. And now more than half the pastors there are women. And then my parents started this organization called Youth with a Mission, which, if your listeners aren't familiar with it, the fastest way I can kind of explain it is kind of like a Christian Peace Corps, where young people can come and get training for 3 months and then go out on outreach to make a difference in the world for a 3-month segment. And there's all kinds of different facets of it now. Medical ships and homes of hope, which is building homes for the poor. There's orphanages that are started almost monthly now around the world somewhere. I think there's been about 5 million participants that have gone through Youth with a Mission in some way. So the family business has very much been in ministry. And when I was, I think in my early teens, I just felt gripped about filmmaking. Didn't know filmmakers, wasn't around that industry. I grew up, you know, visiting missionaries with my parents and living on the Big Island. We had one cinema here at the time, and it had lice a lot of times, so people wouldn't go to it. So I wasn't around, you know, Hollywood, so to speak, but I felt compelled. And so when I first went to my dad and said, hey, I feel like my calling is to be a filmmaker, he said, oh, you mean like Billy Graham movies, like evangelical, you know, movies? And I said, no. And if I had the lexicon that I do now, I would say I have a passion and a heart for popular culture. I want to have a voice in that. So I don't feel like I'm to be making, quote, religious movies that, quote, preach to the choir. But we sure need the choir's help, you know? I want to be involved in telling stories that will contribute to the ongoing conversation and shape culture, you know? And there's some stats that I think might be worth mentioning, Danny, if I'm not running on here too long, just please stop me.
Go ahead. Share those stats, David.
Yeah, so there was the Barnham Study Group, which does analysis based upon influence and impact of, and what will shape your worldview the most, did a study, and the number one most influential worldview shaper was university. That's when your worldview is going to change the most dramatically, higher education. The second one is entertainment and media. Number 24 is the church. And oftentimes I've found that Christians try to put everything through the church. So if you've got a calling to be a filmmaker or a musician, oh, you do worship at church. Oh, let's do video at church, or, you know, fill in the blank. And really the church should be about supporting all the different spheres and people that are called to those different spheres. And so that's kind of my grid, in that we need I come from a history of pastors and ministers and have great respect for the church. But I'm just saying, if we want to be transformative in our world, we need to engage in all the spheres and not try to minimize it and put it into, quote, kind of the religious sphere and capture it within that. But we need to live our faith in and through our calling.
In and through our calling. He has a passion and heart for popular culture. You're listening to David Cunningham. His new film, The Wind and the Reckoning, just won the Best Film Award at the Boston Film Festival. You can find out more about the film, windandreckoning.com. Again, windandreckoning.com. When we come back, you'll hear more about the movie, how it was inspired, how David Cunningham was inspired, how things came together, and there's a twist. COVID happened when the movie was filmed during COVID. Think about that. Windandreckoning.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life.
James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
David Cunningham has a passion and heart for popular culture. His parents, Lauren and Darlene Cunningham, are the founders of Youth with a Mission, YWAM, and the University of the Nations. It's an international and interdenominational Christian organization with over 600 campuses in 160 nations. David is one sent out with a calling to make films that transform, that impact society at the core of societal structures. He is the director of the new film, The Wind and the Reckoning. David Cunningham, I'm going to need some help with you on this, so stay with me. The year is 1893. The Hawaiian kingdom has been overthrown by a Western power just as an outbreak of leprosy engulfs the tropical paradise. The new government orders all native Hawaiians suspected of having the foreign disease banished permanently to a remote colony on the island of Molokai that is known as the Island of the Living Grave. When a local cowboy named Ko'olau and his young son Kalei contract the dreaded disease, they refuse to allow their family to be separated. David, what happens that makes Ko'olau and his wife Pi'ilani heroes for the ages?
Well, it's a true story, and it's a very powerful and compelling one. And our script is based upon Pi'ilani's memoirs. Pi'ilani is the wife to Ko'olau, and she wrote a book about what transpired, her firsthand account. And I think it's important to understand the context in that a lot of people don't even know that Hawaii was a kingdom, and it was a kingdom reigned by a Christian queen, Queen Lili'u Okalani, and it was a peaceful kingdom. And the descendants of the missionaries and some other business people from who were heralded from America overthrew the queen for financial reasons, because the plantations had really started becoming significant businesses, Dole pineapple and sugar and all kinds of products that were coming out of the islands. And it was a real betrayal to the queen and her people. And it was tragic. Something like 90% of the Native Hawaiians walked out of the church, because the Hawaiian kingdom was very much a Christian kingdom. And when those that had really represented the Christian faith betrayed them, it was a real tragedy. So it's important to understand that context. And what was happening is this transitional government was using the laws put forward that had previously been existing about any Hawaiian with leprosy would be sent to Molokai, the Kalapapa, the colony there. but they started to exert control with this law. And so anybody who was suspected of having leprosy, bounty hunters were given $10 per Hawaiian to round up. And so many people who had, whether there was a birth defect or something like that, we were being sent over. So this family refused to be separated because the wife, Pi'ilani, wanted to go with her husband and son, but the new government had changed the rules and said, no, no family members can go there with you. And so they fled into the valleys, and for 3.5 years, they were pursued by bounty hunters and mercenaries and evaded them. And during the course of these 3.5 years, it became news, international news, about this Hawaiian family refusing to be sent. And I think a footnote that's really in particularly important, Danny, is that there was a law that once you landed on Molokai, once your feet touched the sand, you were considered divorced, and you were considered dead by law. And so they refused to have their marriage broken by being sent there. And so they stuck together. And it's an amazing story of how they evaded and how actually other Hawaiians with leprosy joined them. And so it's an adventure drama story, but really at the heart of it, it's about a family fighting to be together.
You're listening to David Cunningham. He is the director of the movie, The Wind and the Reckoning. You've heard it straight from him. Here's the trailer.
The story I need to tell you is true. I offer and dedicate it to my people, the native Hawaiian.
Hawaii! Speak English, boy.
You are to shoot on sight, regardless of weapon, gender, or age.
Mai ai ka inu I loko o kou uwae ka uki kan. E ele ku ana.
Ya la kou o maki no ka kou. Ya la kou o maki ke ia aina.
Kohalau knows this land. I wouldn't underestimate
it. There's go, you're the firepower. And the numbers.
With me, my husband, Ko'olau. With me, my child, Kalei. With me, until the final disappearance.
You are the trophy he obsesses, and he will not stop until you are dead.
The Wind and the Reckoning. We have director David Cunningham with us from Hawaii. David, who was Ko'olau, the leper?
Ko'olau was a paniolo, which means Hawaiian cowboy. And he was legendary as a cowboy, both in being able to round up the cattle and shoot. And most people don't know that there were cowboys in Hawaii before they were in Texas. And there's a rich heritage and culture of cowboys here in the islands. And not only do the cowboys in Hawaii have to round up cattle as, like they do in the continental U.S., they actually have to swim them out to ships and fight off sharks and avoid volcanic lava. And so these cowboys were amazing people. And so he was an amazing man, but he also was a very loyal husband and committed father. And him and his wife met each other when they were just kids, and they were the love of each other's life. And that's a big part of the story, is the commitment between man and wife and not letting anything get between that. And then, of course, being a good father. And, you know, it's a heartbreaking situation where both father and son have leprosy. But he's still in the midst of that, as both of them are literally dying from the disease. He's still teaching him how to be a good man. What does it mean to be a good man? And so the context is very pregnant with, these themes.
You're listening to David Cunningham. He's talking about the new movie, The Wind and the Reckoning. It won the Best Film Award at the Boston Film Festival. It was a privilege to be there with David and the cast to watch the premiere of the film and how moving it was. 80% of the film is in, as we say in Hawaii, Olelo Hawaii, in the Hawaiian language. You can find out more about Wind and Reckoning, The Wind and the Reckoning, at windandreckoning.com. When we come back, you might be surprised how long screenwriter John Fusco and David Cunningham have been in conversation about this film. You know, sometimes it takes a little bit of time, to say the least, for something important, vital, valuable, impactful to emerge. This is the case with The Wind and Reckoning. Windandreckoning.com. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. A police officer found a girl crying on the sidewalk one day. "What's wrong?" he asked. "I'm lost," she said. "Do you have your parents' phone number?" he asked. "No," she said. "What about your address?" "No," she began to sob. Suddenly, she stopped and her eyes brightened. "What happened?" the officer asked. "I remember," she said. "There's a church near my house, and at the top of the church, there's a cross. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross, because when I see the cross, I'll be able to find my way home." My friend, if you feel like you've lost your way, turn to the cross of Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Will you turn to Jesus? Open your heart to Him and find your way home to God. James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny. a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
David Cunningham's Global Virtual Studio is a content creation machine. Under his leadership, GVS develops and produces content for a variety of platforms, from graphic novels to major feature films. GVS has key hubs in Kona, Honolulu, and Los Angeles, with artists and facilities in 15 countries. David Cunningham is the director of the new film, The Wind and the Reckoning. He joins us from Hawaii. It's a blessing to have you with us, dear friend. If you're tuning in right now, or maybe caught the tail end of the last segment, hey, you can get this program in its entirety. It's a free podcast. Just go to drdanny.live, and as I would typically say, go ahead and share it with family members and friends. David, you and John Fusco have been in conversation about this movie. How long has that conversation gone on?
Well, we first had it. John Fusco is an amazing writer. He's got 15 movie hits to his name and writes novels, and he rescues wild horses, and he's adopted member into the Lakota tribe, speaks Lakota fluently, and has a real heart for the indigenous people of North America, and has made many movies about that, and that theme, Thunderheart and Dreamkeeper and Spirit. He's also done a number of Westerns, Young Guns 1 and 2, Hidalgo, the recent Highwaymen with Kevin Costner and Woody Harrelson. So he's a legend and one of my favorite people. And 20 years ago, maybe even a little bit more, I had just was working on my first studio movie and met John. He was the writer of that project, and I was brought on to direct it. And we were riding horses in Vermont on his farm there. And he asked me, you know, have you heard about Ko'olau? And I was embarrassed, because being from Hawaii and loving Hawaiian history, I hadn't heard of it. And he began telling me the story, and that began the conversation. But really where it lit kind of into another level was years later, when P.E. Lani's book was translated into English, and we discovered that, we felt like we had the way in. And so from that time on, it's been about seven, eight years of actively working on getting this movie made, working very hard to try to put it all together, financing and the cast, and falling apart, putting it back together again, falling apart. Making a movie is difficult. Every phase of it is very, very hard. And you just got to keep going. Have that bulldog tenacity, you know, that lockjaw. Just keep going.
Lockjaw. Talk to us about the cast.
Well, we have amazing cast. Jason Scott Lee plays Ko'olau, and Jason lives on the Big Island. And maybe your listeners may be aware of him when he starred as Bruce Lee. He was in the first Jungle Book, and most recently co-starring in Mulan, the live action film. And he's a great guy, brilliant actor, and just a wonderful partner, creative partner in this process. So he plays Ko'olau. Lindsay Anohea Watson plays P.E. Lani, and she's a brilliant actress, and most known for the recent Netflix hit Finding Ohana. And she's a Maui girl. And and then their son is played by Kahial Pereira, and Kahial is a young man from Big Island whose family are performers and cultural practitioners. And this is his first time to act in a film, but he's been performing his whole life. and dance and chant and that kind of thing. And then we have some others in our ensemble that are amazing. Henry Ian Cusick, who plays Captain McCabe, the main antagonist, who is pursuing Ko'olau. And a lot of people know Henry Ian Cusick from the hit show Lost, playing Desmond, and then 100, and most recently MacGyver. And he's a brilliant actor who lives in Oahu, but is of Scottish and Peruvian descent. And then we have Jonathan Shaikh, plays it also in the ensemble. Jonathan goes, I don't know how many movies he's got to his name. There's tons, going all the way back to That Thing You Do with Tom Hanks. And he plays the sheriff who's kind of, the marshal who's born and raised in the islands and who's kind of conflicted and torn between his loyalty to the people and the place of Hawaii and this new government. And I can go on and on about the rest of the cast. There's just so many more that are just fantastic.
David, you won Best Film at the Boston Film Festival, but you had a total of 8 awards. What were some of the other awards?
We got Best Ensemble, which means, you know, the cast was honored for that. Best Script and Story. I was honored to get Best Director as well. Best Actress, Best Cinematography, Best Editing. I might be missing something, but that's the gist of it. So we just about got them all, and that was amazing. That's our first debut at the film festival circuit. I leave tomorrow for the Heartland Film Festival in Indianapolis, where we premiere there this weekend. And then we continue on the road for about 3 or 4 more festivals after that.
That almost sounds like a clean sweep. Give us some context, David. Where were you and the cast and crew during COVID?
Well, you know, I was on my way to South Africa to direct a different movie when the world got locked down, and attempted to get to South Africa a number of times, and each time a new pandemic variation showed up and shut it down. And I kept being haunted by this script, the Wind and the Reckoning script, about a family during a pandemic, racism coming forward because of it, government overreach, all this stuff. And I was just, oh man, we need to make this thing and make it now. And so I called up John Fusco and my other partners, Dale Johnson, and some of our Hawaii producers, and said, you know, I got this crazy idea. There's a ranch here on the Big Island. What if we all move on to this ranch, create a bubble, and live and work together, cast, crew, extras, everybody, and make this film what they call in our industry favored nations, which basically means everyone gets paid the same. And so, you know, you get everybody in it for the right reasons. No one's getting rich, but everyone's getting a paycheck. And everybody was in, and we got the best crew in the state. Magnum PI, the TV show, was shut down. And so we were able to get much of our crew from that show, and 100% Hawaii crew, which we're very proud of. And some of the best in the state joined our crazy adventure, and including my family. My wife's a makeup artist. She was the head of makeup head department on the film. And my two daughters, 19 and 21, they were supporting the cast as assistants, and myself, and my son was an extra. And we all moved on to this ranch together, and lived together and made this film. And it was a wild but beautiful adventure together.
Nothing like family, nothing like Ohana.
Absolutely.
David, when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about the Boston Film Festival. some reflections that you have, and also what's next for The Wind and the Reckoning. You mentioned the Heartland Film Festival. You're on a journey, and you're on a roll. You're listening to David Cunningham, the director of The Wind and the Reckoning. You can find out more about the movie at windandreckoning.com. When we come back, how did they overcome the challenges? How did they keep plowing forward? You ever wonder about that? Maybe feel at times when you have run out of energy, maybe even run out of will to continue, maybe just a little discouraged. Well, David Cunningham is living an inspiring life, but there's depth to that, and he'll share more when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things you do not know." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a program that was born out of prayer. The Spirit of Christ guides us through prayer, empowers us through prayer, and provides for us through prayer. There are mighty things that the Lord is doing in the Northeast, across the United States, and around the world. Would you like to be a part of God's work through The Good Life with Dr. Danny? Visit drdanny.live. Dr. Danny invites you to join his prayer team. Each month, you will receive a letter updating you on some of the behind-the-scenes developments, prayer requests, along with a devotional that Dr. Danny writes to encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Join the prayer team today and make an eternal difference in people's lives. Visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live. On behalf of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, weekdays at 6 p.m. on WEZE, and visiting drdanny.live for more resources. My dear friend, it is because of listeners and donors like you that we are able to spread the message of Jesus' love and bring hope to people like you, your family, and friends. Proverbs 11:25 says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Will you prayerfully consider donating to Danny Yamashiro Ministries so that we may continue to broadcast the gospel, so believers will be built up and non-believers may form a relationship with Jesus Christ? Visit drdanny.live to make a financial contribution today. That's drdanny.live. And thank you again for supporting The Good Life with Dr. Danny. May God richly bless you with The Good Life.
Listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience The Good Life today.
The Wind and the Reckoning took home 8 awards, including Best Film at the Boston Film Festival. David L. Cunningham, the international filmmaker, known for striking visuals, authentic performances, and dynamic subject matters, was the director. David Cunningham grew up in Kailua Kona at the University of the Nations campus. His parents, Lauren and Darlene Cunningham, were the founders of Youth with a Mission. David studied film at the University of Southern California. You can find out more about the movie Wind and Reckoning, The Wind and the Reckoning, at windandreckoning.com. David, how did you overcome some of the challenges that you were faced with during COVID and then keep plowing forward?
Well, you know, I think there's a couple of principles about overcoming challenges. And as a filmmaker, it's just one challenge after another. There's just so many obstacles that you have to overcome. And there's a few principles that I try to live my life by, and one of them my mother taught me, and that's gratitude. And that as you come up to, let's say, a brick wall of challenge, and you are frustrated and things aren't working out the way you planned or wanted, you're tired, maybe you've tried many, many scenarios, if you just stop for a moment and thank the Lord for what is good in your life, what is happening in your life, and whatever it might be, it gives you this sense of a different perspective and will unlock and open ideas for you to be able to pivot, for you to be able to be innovative. But if you get all bound up in being a victim or just fatigue or whatever, so that gratitude is so important. And other principles like forward momentum, like no matter what, just keep putting your foot in front of each other. Like it might be inches that you're moving, but keep moving. It's so much easier to pivot when you're moving, but going from a standstill to try to change a direction is so much more difficult. So we had to get really creative on getting this film made, and it took a long time, a lot of pivots, but COVID actually ended up being an answer because we had this amazing cast and crew available that normally would be on different shows. They were available to us because no one was working at the time. We were able to get this ranch that normally would be very busy. And there was just a lot of things that lined up for us. And it's just about keep going. Don't give up.
Reflections, David, as you encourage us with gratitude and no matter what, keep moving forward, even if it's just an inch or two. Reflections on the Boston Film Festival, the premiere of The Wind and the Reckoning.
Yeah, it was an amazing time, and so glad you were able to be there, Danny. We had a number of the indigenous tribes of the Northeast lands there, Native American tribes that were invited, and it was really important to our Hawaiian delegation. We had a Native Hawaiian delegation traveling with the film, excuse me, and it was important to honor those people, the host culture of the land. And so there was a gift exchange between the Native Hawaiians and the Native Americans that was very touching and just an honoring of cultures. And then after that took place, the movie played. And as you might remember, about two-thirds of the way through the movie, alarms started going off and this robotic voice, evacuate, evacuate, lights flashing. And we were evacuated out of the venue. And we didn't know why, but we were called back soon afterwards. Evidently, it was a small kitchen fire that caused the alarm system to go off. And thankfully, pretty much everybody showed back up to watch the rest of the movie. And we were able to finish the film and had a tremendous response afterwards. And it was soon announced that we had won Best Film. So it was an amazing experience.
It's unique to get your perspective. And you talk about the surprise during the showing, but other surprises, David, are there any other surprises that you have observed along the way that have inspired you?
Yeah. You know what, one of the things that's been so key about this film is I committed early on that anytime a Native Hawaiian would speak to another Native Hawaiian in this movie, it would be in Olelo Hawaii, the Native Hawaiian tongue. And the Native Hawaiian language was almost stamped out completely. I think it was just down to a few thousand speakers, mostly because in the public schools, they outlawed the teaching of Hawaiian, and they were trying to really Americanize the host culture here. And thankfully, there has been a resurgence, but it's still, you know, relatively small amount of speakers. It's growing. But we really wanted to honor the culture and the people by their mother tongue, you know, their heart language. And so we did that. And it was it was very difficult because only one of the actors, the young boy, was fluent in Hawaiian already. The rest had to learn. And that was not easy. We had four kumus, four teachers that were on the set and teaching and helping us through this process. But it was very difficult. We went through that whole process and very proud of the film. And then sadly, because we made that choice, we were turned down many times by a lot of the mainstream distributors. And because they're, you know, it requires subtitles and so on. And, you know, there's an argument, well, you know, there's so many movies now that have subtitles on the Netflix and various platforms. And it's true, but mostly those languages are from languages that are have vast audiences. For example, there's 75 million Korean speakers, and there's only 20,000 Native Hawaiian speakers. And so if you're looking at it from a business standpoint, they're like, well, not everyone wants to read subtitles, but we know that there's a big audience still that speaks this language. But they're missing the point. The point is, you know, people's language is tied to their identity. And when it's their heart language, their mother tongue, as you honor that, you start unlocking things into their heart, and you start bridging in a deeper way. And what we want to do is be a celebration of those mother tongues around the world. And we've been finding that in particular, the Native American culture has been really responding to this movie because they share a similar story. Many of their languages have been almost stamped out. And I think it's really important to honor where you can. And this is one place where we can honor. And so what we did is we had to pivot, as I mentioned earlier, trying to stay grateful and not giving up. And we decided to take this film on the road with film festivals and prove that there is an audience for this film, that people will feel that the spirit of the film when they watch it, and appreciate the story for what it is. And we're off to a good start winning these awards. We will keep going.
Keep going, keep going. I can just envision when I see the movie again, that there are gonna be a lot of awards that will be displayed as you continue. David, thank you for your courage. Thank you for your stick-to-itiveness. And thank you for stepping out, a man of faith, living a life of faith with a passion and heart for popular culture. May God bless you, David Cunningham. Bless you, your family. Bless the work of your hands, yours and John Fusco and the rest of the cast and crew and all who are a part of The Wind and Reckoning. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Danny. Wonderful to be with you.
Inspiring words from David Cunningham, windandreckoning.com. My friend, God's timing is perfect. And look, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, hey, I believe this may be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus. Go to drdanny.live. I've got some resources for you there. If you'd like to join our prayer team or partner with us financially, again, drdanny.live. 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid hands on you. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to David Cunningham, windandreckoning.com. Until next time, along with my producer, David Nasora, creative director, Brian Torres, web designer, 9th Avenue Studio, and guest coordinator, Jan Yi, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of The Good Life with Dr. Danny. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you and that you may find hope in hearing how God's Word affects people from all walks of life. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a listener-supported program, and we'd like for you to prayerfully consider becoming a sponsor or donor. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. to hear The Good Life with Dr. Danny. Until next time, may God richly bless you with The Good Life.